I'm trying to put two quarters together for a Publix tuna fish sandwich here, gentlemen. Wings, ribs, pulled pork tacos, brisket. The guy knows what he's doing. He's hitting the film room, and he's improving by leaps and bounds.
All right, Ira, why do you like Bill Curry Ford?
Service, service, service. I'm about to experience it again because I'm due for an oil change. And the best news of all is I love the showroom. So while your car vehicle's in the service department, you're in the showroom. Big Storm's got the cubicle in there. You can get the Cuban, whatever you want, and talk to Sean Sullivan about Buck football. I mean, the guy's one of the great Buck fans in the Tampa Bay area. Bleeds Buccaneer. I don't want to talk about the 2021 NFL draft, so forget that, Sean, if you're listening. And I urge all our listeners with Ford vehicles, and it doesn't even have to be a Ford vehicle. Just bring it in, and they'll take care of it and give you an honest appraisal and get the job done. And I'm coming in this week, Sean, so you have been forewarned.
And for those unaware, Ira, you drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, lap of luxury. I've seen it myself from Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. That's where that showroom is, but you can get there immediately by shopping at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you by phone, email, text, whatever it might be, BillCurryFord.com.
That shows you that I'm more of a, you know, a root beer or a malted man, or maybe an egg cream. We got plenty to talk about.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Buccaneers are 4-2. We are fired up with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. I am Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and the man of the hour is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, who informed us in the last podcast that the Buccaneers were going to lose Sunday. Ira, how are you?
Guys, we're never going to know. We're never going to know what would have happened in that game had Dean not stepped in front of that pass for Devontae Adams. Maybe the Bucs win by two touchdowns or 17 points instead of 28. Or, Lee, maybe they lose. Maybe they lose. The team was dead. The fans were flat. There was nothing going on in the stands from Buck fans before Dean read that play so expertly. The defense didn't look good. The offense looked worse. There was no enthusiasm. And they're losing 10-0. Yes, it's a team game, Lee, the 65 snaps in a game. But, Lee, everybody says it. Everybody says it. That's the play to turn that game around. Lee, not only did it get the fans excited, not only did it motivate the Buck defense, but it had a strong effect on Brady and company. Lee, who had done nothing to that point, and all of a sudden they started clicking, smelling blood in the water, and it absolutely turned Aaron Rodgers into a stick figure, a scarecrow. I got my doubts about Rodgers. We'll talk about that later. Maybe I'm a little too rough on the boy. Maybe I'm a little too rough, but... And by the way, let me throw this out there too, Lee. It's a little side view, but Matt LaFleur, what the hell are you doing? He punted late in the third quarter. I think they were down by 21 points. It was 4th and 5, like from his own 40. You can't punt. You can't punt. You got to give yourself a chance. You got to at least tell your team you believe in them. You know, he folded his cards. I don't think it would have made a difference ultimately, but you know, LaFleur, you were outfoxed yesterday. Hats off to Bowles. Tremendous game plan. Tremendous. I was talking all week in our podcast about the challenge that Bowles faced. Rodgers has seen every blitz. He's very good about dumping the ball off to his backs to foil the blitz with the screens. We didn't see any of that. The Bucs had it all snuffed out. And Jamel Dean, I wrote a Monday column about this kid. He's coming on strong. He might have been their best defensive player at Soldier Field. And, boy, what a play he made. And why did he make it, Lee? Why did he make it? Film study. There's no greater gift to Todd Bowles than that. I called it Rondé Barberesque-ly. I'm not putting him in Rondé Barber's category, but in terms of film study, he might have turned a season around with that play.
You know, I don't think you're exaggerating, Ira, that he may have turned the season around because they lost that game. And I don't know too many people that when the Bucks were down 10-0, thought, nah, the Bucks are going to blow them out. But that's wishful thinking. Now, Arians seems to hint, and he may not be wrong at this, but I'm like you. If I got to point to one play, of course, I'm pointing to Jamel Dean. Arians seemed to hint on the Packers' previous possession when they challenged a 20-yard pass along the left sideline,
right,
and the challenge was upheld, and the play was ruled incomplete, out of bounds, that's when the tide began to turn.
That was a big play. That was a smart play by Arians, no question about it. I think it was a pass to Aaron Jones, I believe.
Yes, and, I believe so.
And he landed on his rump with 1 foot in bounds. That was the play. But Lee, you're with me on this. Dean turned that game around, no question.
I think so, because you don't see too many teams get motivated on an incompletion. You know, you might see him get fired up when a touchdown is reversed, but not so much an incompletion. But Dean, you know, pick sixes do that to teams. And that just seemed to invigorate the entire team and how close they came to having a second pick six. Mike Edwards was one block away from a pick six.
No question about
that
it.
Offensive lineman for the Packers was standing on the 2-yard line. That's all you'd be reading about today, is two pick sixes and three attempts by Rodgers. And say the lack of numbers that Rodgers put up is just stunning what the Bucks did. I mean, Ira, when is the last time, you're a Bucks historian, the Bucks absolutely took apart a very good team? I was thinking the last thing I can remember, now there's some games in between the game I'm going to mention and today and yesterday's game that you might be able to point to. To me, the last time I saw the Bucks on both sides of the ball totally and absolutely dominated game against a very good team was when they beat the 49ers in the playoffs in 2002. They hammered the 49ers. Now, Steve brought up the Panthers in 2008. Steve, was it 2008? Chucky's last year?
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers.
They beat them 27-3 at home, and the Panthers finished 12-4 that year. Ira, that was the same Panther team that crushed them on Monday Night Football that set in motion the spiral of the end of the Chucky regime.
I can say two words why I don't buy that. That was like such a dominant team. Two words. Jake Delhomme. That wasn't Jake Delhomme the Bucks hammered yesterday, and that certainly wasn't Jake Delhomme that the Bucks hammered in the playoffs in 2002. Yeah, I mean, Jake Delhomme was basically the Panthers' Trent Dilfer. I wasn't that overly impressed that it was such a dominant team. Their record was good. They didn't make the playoffs, but Jake Delhomme.
Didn't they beat some good teams, Steve? A five-game win streak in 2016, maybe Seattle?
Seattle at home was one.
Yeah, that was the standout game. They held Russell Wilson to 5 points. The defense was incredible. Warren Sapp was screaming after that game about how his defense never choked out a quarterback like the Bucks did. That's really all I could think of.
Yeah, that game sticks out in my mind too. Hey, by the way, Steve, and you know you don't need a lot of prodding to pick apart one of my arguments, Mr. Isbitt.
Oh, I'm ready I'm ready now, if you'd like. But go ahead.
Well, I'm going to ask you right now, Steve. Now you've heard me on other podcasts, even last year. You know, I got a little bit of a liking for this Jamel Dean. I have, especially down the stretch last year. I know the Seattle game was a disaster. It was. It was his first NFL start. But Russell Wilson can do that to you. He does it to the veteran cornerbacks. But he finished strong. I was wavering between him and Carlton Davis by the time the season ended. I didn't know who had the brighter future. You know, right now I would say Davis is the better player. But I think Dean's coming on strong. I mean, Steve, maybe the knock on him is he doesn't play nickel. I mean, Is that the biggest knock you can put on a cornerback? Steve, the guy knows what he's doing. He's hitting the film room, and he's improving by leaps and bounds.
No, you're on the money, Ira. Look, Dean was a third-round pick, but he is a first-round talent when it comes to speed, when it comes to length, and he's played very well. except we don't know if he can stay healthy, which is what his issue was in college. And obviously he's improved. So, yeah, it's a wonderful situation for the Bucks right now with Dean. You were all over it, Ira. You get full credit. Dean was your guy all offseason. So good for you.
Well, I also said had Cameron Braid, and he's got about four catches this year. So, you know, you're giving your take, Lee. You're giving your take. But, Lee, you got to love the way that Dean's hitting the books. He's hitting the books, and he didn't get down on himself after that debacle in Seattle. And, boy, with Dean and Davis, Lee, a year ago at this time, we were screaming. Where are the cornerbacks? They don't have a cornerback. Look at all the resources. But Bowles had faith, and they stuck with it. Arians, you know, believed in Bowles, and Bowles believed in Davis and Dean. And lo and behold, Lee, you know, 15 months later, these guys are tearing it up.
Well, of course, yesterday Davis had that tip that Mike Edwards almost turned.
Yes, he did.
All right, Ira, Sunday we will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. And now that's their tap room, 3,000 square feet outside. Covered, beautiful, great sound, great viewing for the Bucks game. And, of course, their beautiful indoor tap room, which everybody knows and loves. Combine that with their A-plus menu, and it's a great watch party for Bucks fans. Buccaneers, Raiders kick off at 8:20. And Sage, starting at 6:30 p.m., Florida's Elite Restoration is going to be buying Bucks fans a beer. We're going to be handing out coupons, and Florida's Elite Restoration is the premier disaster care company in the Bay Area, mold remediation specialists. Whatever happens, they are going to take care of you, and they need to be your first phone call 24/7. They'll get back to you, give you a free estimate as to what's going on. And what they're going to give you on Sunday is a free beer with a coupon that we're going to pass out. So you can look for the Sage. You can look for Joe Bucks fan. We're going to be having a lot of fun. Josh Martin from Florida's Elite Restoration is going to be out there ready to talk shop with plumbers if they're coming on out, property managers, air conditioning contractors, whoever it might be, and, of course, plenty of Bucks football. We're fired up, Ira.
You know, one of my buddies last week mentioned to me that he's got a little mold issue and that he immediately called Florida's Elite Restoration based on being a loyal listener to this podcast. I think that's marvelous. He had a good experience with them, found them very honest. Easy to do business with. I think it's great that we're steering people to Florida's Elite Restoration because, Steve, if you even think you might have some kind of a mold issue, that's who you call first ahead of your insurance company and let them come out and assess the situation.
Now, Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Clearwater is on 49th Street, about a mile and a half or so south of Olmerton Road. It's a great place to spend every football Saturday, every football Sunday, or just go out to dinner, whatever it might be. But Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, very best craft beer. So you can find that all over Florida. In many other states, go to bigstormbrewery.com. Sage will be drinking that new beer that he likes, which I couldn't find on their website, Iris, so I'm a little suspicious. But the Bromosa will definitely be there, the Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, all the greats. Sunday night, a lot of fun ahead.
Are you suggesting that I made up the name Kolsch, K-O-L-S-C-H? Check your computer over there, Isbits. You might be missing a few gears. Kolsch is the beer, and it goes down very nicely. And I'm already starting to peruse the menu to see what I want next. I had the barbecue platter a couple of weeks ago, and it was absolutely fantastic. Wings, ribs, pulled pork, brisket. Lee, they got it all. You know, I've had the pulled pork tacos. I've had the hogfish. Of course, I've had the Reuben and the Cuban. So I will continue my foray down the Big Storm menu. Lee, I might even have a pretzel this time. They got some kind of a big pretzel. I might try that as an appetizer, DeKemper.
Oh, those pretzels are real good. And a real quick beer 101 for you, Ira. Kolsch is a type of beer, like lager, like Pilsner. It's not a name. It's a type.
Okay. All right. That's what happened. That's what happened. That shows you that I'm more of a, you know, a root beer or a malted man or maybe an egg cream. But I found Kolsch, and I'm sticking with it.
Ira, to ask you about the dominant game, you've covered the Bucks forever. What type of dominant performance was that in your eyes?
the last three quarters were, I think that that's about as good as the Bucks can play. I don't think they can play any better than that. 38-0, that's what it was, 38-0. No penalties, no sacks, no turnovers. I mean, it's close to perfection, gentlemen. Gronkowski gets on track. Ronald Jones is going crazy. The pass rush is fantastic. The inside linebackers, very effective on the blitz. The secondary held up very well. Rodgers had nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, confused, bullied. And Lee, I mentioned this in my column Sunday night, and I think it's easy to overlook it, Lee, but I think there was a general sense, tell me if you agree, in the last three quarters, the Bucks bullied them, Lee. They bullied them. They were by far the more physical team, and Green Bay's not a timid franchise, you know. But the Bucks hit them in the mouth. You know, Sue led the charge up front, you know, and he let it Rodgers know that they were coming after him all day long. So, Lee, in terms of domination, the last three quarters, that's as good as it gets, Lee.
Well, I'm going to ask you about your column in one quick second, but I'm going to offer an observation that Brian Billick had earlier today on NFL Network. Billick said early in the game, especially the second quarter, Bowles is bringing six rushers. And he said later in the game, he was only bringing four. But Rodgers was reacting as if they were bringing six. He didn't come out and say it, Billick, but it's pretty obvious to me that Rodgers was totally rattled. He was absolutely rattled by the Bucs defense. I don't think I've seen him rattled like that.
And it shows you, Lee, it shows you what pressure can do to even the best, even the best quarterback. And what Billick was talking about, Lee, is hearing footsteps,
I'm always big on pass rush. That's it right there. That's perfect.
Absolutely right. And, you know, and Steve, to that point, one thing that Derek Brooks always says on Tampa 2, the identity, when we do our shows each week, he always talks about disguising who's common, whether they're common, mixing it up, not letting the team, you know, zero in on tendencies. And Bowles was a master at that.
Well, two things.
He aced the test, and he had a great plan, and they executed it very, very well.
Can I pour some lukewarm water out there for a minute?
Lukewarm? You're usually putting some 19-degree water, but proceed, my friend.
All right, let me say this. Todd Bowles, it came out today, it came out yesterday from players, including Mike Edwards on Sirius this morning. Todd Bowles didn't have some sort of special game plan. He basically said, guys, I want you to stay confident. We're going to play our game. We're going to do our blitzing. We're not going to be scared of Aaron Rodgers. And if we have to adjust later, we'll adjust. But stay confident, and we're just going to do what we do and see what happens for a while. And so that's not some sort of mastermind game plan in my mind. That's just him telling his guys, stay confident and do your thing. And what turned the game were two individual plays, Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean. So I don't know if I can go all mastermind that there was some incredible situation here by Bowles. It all worked, and that's all that matters. But this wasn't some sort of unique thing that we have to start screaming about Todd Bowles' genius. That's just my different take on it.
All right, now I will put your attitude in the deep freeze now, Isbits. Yeah, there were two interceptions that turned the game around. But Lee, that only made it 14-13 bucks. That's all it made it. 14-10 bucks, plenty of time left, you know, 37 minutes left in the game. You're down by 4 points. The fact is, Lee, the Packers did absolutely, in the words of Chris Mad Dog Russo, absolutely nothing in their final, I believe, final 10 possessions. They scored 10 points in their first two possessions, and the final 10 possessions, Lee, two picks, seven punts, and that little nothing possession near the end of the first half. I mean, who does that to a team that had scored 30 points in each of their first four games? So Steve is trying to argue that, those two plays are the whole thing. No. They kept it up for three quarters to the point where he had to lift Rodgers so he didn't face another beatdown. Bowles disguised things, Lee. Rodgers didn't know what to expect. He didn't know who was coming, who wasn't coming. I'm not going to take anything away from Bowles' preparation for this game, Lee.
No, neither will I. But since you're quoting Russo, you forgot to use his favorite saying he uses as a period.
100%? 100%? No. Okay.
That's all there is to it.
Ira, you're twisting my words. What are you running for office over here? All I said was, I think it's a good thing, is what I mean, is that if Bowles didn't have to play mastermind and just said, let's go do what we do, and it worked, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But I'm not going to.
I know,
you know,
Steve,
what I mean?
But don't, Steve, you don't want to imply that Bowles used the same, you know, defensive blueprint he used at Soldier Field. I mean, he changes it every week, depending on the opponent's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah,
so,
at Soldier Field, as Lee would attest, they got soft when they shouldn't have.
All I know is whatever he did, it worked. It worked in spectacular fashion.
Well, speaking of working, last night you slaved away with your weekly 10 takeaways on the Bucks, and you had an item, Ira. I have to bring this up. You actually compared Aaron Rodgers, who 5 years from the date he retires will be inducted into Canton, you compared him to Brian Griese. Now, I'm going to ask you, Ira, as some of Joe Bucks fan readers wanted to know, what did Brian Griese do to you? Because that's borderline outrageous to compare.
I didn't like his attitude, DeKemper. I didn't like his attitude.
Are you saying Brian Griese had a bad attitude?
I'm saying Brian Griese had a bad attitude. I didn't like it. And
you guys
I don't
have
like
bad blood between like Sue and Rogers. You and Brian Griese have a history.
No, but I saw
on your foot.
I saw him on the football field, and I didn't see a lot of positivity. And I have a problem now with Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I don't like his attitude either. I called him a front runner. I think it's accurate. He has the time of his life when things are going well. And I thought Brian Griese was the same way. Son of a Hall of Fame quarterback that Chris Russo can't believe that his father's in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's right. Maybe.
Well, that's the closest he'll ever get to the Hall of Fame is when he walks in with his old man.
So
Rodgers is going to have a bust in there. I just couldn't believe it. You could you use Brian Griese's name in the same sentence.
Well, on the leadership guy, you know what? I could have used another guy. Steve, you know who I could have used? Chris Chandler. Could have used Chris Chandler.
Oh.
Didn't the Bucks have Chandler and he said, I'm better than that guy in the papers, and I can't believe I'm not playing? I think he did do that.
That was the pre-Dungy days.
I'm thinking it was or maybe it might have been that 1 year Richard Williamson. Remember that 1 year?
No, I don't remember that 1 year. Everybody's burst up in their brains.
But anyway, look, I'm not a Brian Griese fan. I don't even like him as an announcer. And Rogers, you heard me. Grow a pair and become a leader. Because I don't think he's a leader. How do you like that?
All right, Ira. Here's an interesting nugget that Bruce Arians dropped today, Monday. He said that Ndamukong Suh was, quote, maybe the most double-teamed player in the NFL last year. But this year he's getting more single attention. And that really surprised me because why would they move off Sue? Who are they looking at, especially in yesterday's game? And I think that maybe backhandedly says an awful lot about the other guys on the line that we don't talk about as much. Raheem Nunez-Roches filling in, the young guy, Anthony Nelson, playing a lot more. What do you make of that?
Well, now they got a new defensive tackle in town. Supposed to be a pretty decent player from the Jets. But, you know, come on, Bruce. Come on, coach. That's kind of an outrageous statement, I think, Lee. Ndamukong Suh is double-teamed more than Aaron Donald?
Last year he thought he was the most double-teamed man.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Strange,
that sounds crazy.
There's a guy who was playing good football, and I don't think I heard his name yesterday. And that may be the guy who's getting a lot of attention from offensive lines, which you know, Suh got singled covered. That guy's name's Will Golston.
Well, I thought the guy that didn't show up yesterday was Shaq Barrett.
Well, that too. Yeah, Shaq.
Steve, he didn't make the post-game stat sheet. He didn't make it. You know, Nunez-Roches was listed on there, and then there's no Shaq Barrett. That might make the defensive performance even the more impressive. Now, look, they're paying a lot of attention. They're paying a lot of attention. By the way, Golston's playing some good football, Steve. Golston's playing as well as I've ever seen him play.
Well, look, this was the second-ranked defense entering the game. I mean, they're playing well as a defense. We can nitpick all day long. They were number two entering this game, and they just stunned Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of this week, they'll either be number two or number one. So
Number one right now.
I mean, hats off to what these guys are pulling off. I thought it was a very interesting line from Tony Dungy last night, Ira, who said that he didn't think Tony Dungy. Now, he pays attention to the Bucs. You know, he's connected, and he knows what's going on. Arians is buddy and all that. Tony Dungy said he didn't think the corners on the Bucs were good enough for Todd Bowles to go blitzing, and he was wrong. A very strong statement, but very interesting that he had assessed their corners as not good enough.
He was wrong. He was wrong because they blitzed extensively. Apparently, they didn't blitz that much on third down, but they blitzed extensively throughout the game, and the corners held up. They held up very well. You didn't see a lot of open guys. You know, remember Lee Mercedes Lewis was open on that one pass over the middle that Rodgers threw a bad pass. By the way, he threw quite a few poor passes yesterday. And again, Lee, it goes to your bigger point about how the pass rush affects everything. But the corners, they did more than hold their own. Davis played very well. Dean, we talked about. Antoine Winfield was excellent, Lee. Excellent. And by the way, Liam, we've taken our pot shot at this guy the last couple of weeks, and for good reason. Devin White bounced back with a good game, Lee. You noticed him. He was very strong against the run, and he was effective on the pass rush. He was. So, he still got work to do in coverage, but you noticed Devin White yesterday, and, of course, you're always going to notice Levante David.
All right, Sage, we've talked a lot about the defense, but it was 38-10. They did put up a lot of points, and right now I want your reaction. Tom Brady, he's on pace for 37 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Not bad for a 42-year-old man that was standing behind door number two, who is now 43, and he's not standing. Did you notice, guys, that on that beautiful pass to Gronkowski for the touchdown? I mean, what a great catch. And what a great pass in that left corner. Did you see how Brady maneuvered in the pocket? Now, look, he doesn't run a 4.44, but he's got that pocket presence, and he bought himself just enough time and then fired a beautiful arching pass to Gronkowski. The only guy who could catch it was Gronkowski, and he had to turn around and made a beautiful catch. But I thought Brady was pretty darn good, not great. He got the job done. He made some beautiful throws, no picks. 37-11, that's music to Buck fans' ears, Lee. 37-11, nothing wrong with that ratio.
Now, what I thought was very interesting was Arians in his press conference Monday. He said Tyler Johnson, got his first NFL touchdown. He was the fourth option on that play.
You know what, Lee? Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember if it was the Johnson touchdown or the Gronkowski that he stepped up and maneuvered in the pocket. I can't remember which one. It might have been the Tyler Johnson one. That was a bullet. The one to Gronkowski was an arching pass. The one to Johnson. What a beautiful pattern Johnson ran. We talked about that kid in college. What a precise route runner. He's not a burner. He doesn't have 4.3 speed like Jamel Dean does. Jamel Dean ran a 4.3 at the combine. He's starting to make a difference, Lee. Gronkowski came up big. And Mike Evans, again, a very, very strange season for Mike Evans, Lee. He's on pace for maybe, 14, 15 touchdowns, which would be a career high. But he's not catching a lot of balls and he's not getting a lot of yards, Lee. It's kind of a weird year, and he certainly, I'm not sure he's 100%.
Yeah, even Arians mentioned his ankles messed up still. Now, I can't remember, it was someone that texted me, or I think it was someone that texted me. I've got a couple doctors that text me, and they're not my doctors, but they're fans of Joe Bucks fan. And they were texting me, what's going on with Evans? And I said, I think it's a combination. He had a hurt ankle. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers, their game plan was to take him out.
Well, you know, the more I'm watching the Buck offense, especially with a guy like Brady, I don't think you can go in that way, Steve. I think that's a stupid way to approach it. First of all, and I've said this before, maybe I'm crazy, I'm not sure Evans is that much better than Chris Godwin. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced. I think he's better, but I don't think there's a yawning gap between the two of them. I think you could argue Godwin had a better year than Evans last year.
Yawning.
And Godwin was very, very strong in the first half. Boy, does he run a nice pattern. He twisted some guy inside out yesterday. I like everything about Godwin. You guys know that. He's a hell of a blocker, too, by the way. And that's not the first thing you say about a receiver, but if it's the third or fourth thing you say, it's not a bad added bonus.
Unless the receiver's name is Michael Clayton.
Yes. You know, Keyshawn Johnson was a very good receiver, an excellent blocker. So, you know, that gave him another layer. And I think the same with Godwin. I'll say it again, guys. He ain't going nowhere in 2021. They'd be out of their minds not to keep Godwin. He just keeps getting better and better. He's a gamer. But, Steve, to my point, I don't think you should go in thinking we can't let Mike Evans beat us. I just think the Bucs have too many weapons for a thought like that.
Well, you got to have some thought if you're a defensive coordinator. You got to try to take out somebody and play your angles. And I get it. One thing that came up during the broadcast, I don't know if you guys heard it, but I believe it was Joe Buck said that Arians told him they should not have played Mike Evans against Chicago, that he was not healthy enough and he shouldn't have played him. And that really made me cringe, but I get it. But neither he nor Godwin are hurt and are healthy. But here they are. They're still rolling. All the dreams we had of multiple weapons and you can't stop the Bucks, they've all come true.
You might have to think about letting Evans take a week off, because the bye week's a long way away, Lee. You can't wait for the bye week. You know, that's 5 weeks away. If Evans is hobbled, you might think about giving him some extra time. Now, it's another big game and the Raiders aren't a bad team coming off a bye week. The Bucs are favored, slightly favored. It's a road game, you know, where the Bucs only have one road win this year. I don't know. It's just been a very, very strange year for Mike Evans. For those who thought he would break all kinds of records with Brady at the helm, that wasn't going to happen, Lee. And I think we said it before the season started. There was no reason to believe that Evans and Godwin we're going to increase their yardage totals under Brady when Winston, you know, threw for 5,000 yards. So that wasn't realistic. But, Lee, I remember, what was it, the Denver game where he caught 2 1-yard touchdowns, and those were his only catches. And yesterday, one catch. It's been a very uneven year for Mike Evans. I will say that. And it was good to see Gronkowski get on track yesterday, Lee. It absolutely is going to pay big dividends down the road.
Well, sure. With Gronkowski and Tyler Johnson catching touchdowns, Brady's now thrown touchdown passes to 8 different receivers, which is saying a lot.
That's a lot.
With Evans and the injury, Monday during his press conference, Arians said was asked about Fournette. Like, you know, it was looking like Fournette was going to be a go. Then last second, he wasn't. And Arians said his ankle isn't fully healed yet, and they said they could have played him, but he didn't want to risk losing him for yet another month. And that's why he didn't activate him.
You know, Steve, at this point through 6 games, I'm not sure what Fournette's role on this team is going to be when he's healthy. He had a chance to make a difference if he stayed healthy and Ronald Jones got off to a slow start.
I know his role. Depth. Rojo, he's guy's on pace for 1,250 yards. He's tearing up the league.
That's my point. Jones ain't going anywhere. Doesn't deserve to go anywhere. He's been fantastic. And you got McCoy behind him, and now Vaughn's, you know, moving into a slot. And, you know, it's hard to see much for Leonard Fournette. I mean, the way Jones is going, they're not going to split carries. There's no way they're going to split carries. Unless Jones falls off the map or twists an ankle. So I think Fournette, when he comes back, I don't think he's going to be a very happy camper, such as life. Lee, you got to take what it gives you. And right now, Jones is the man and deserves to be.
The way Rojo's running, there's no way you pull him. No way you demote him. No way. And like Steve said, he's looking at 1,200 yards.
Yep.
And I don't know if you noticed this or not, Ira. Rojo became only the fourth running back in Bucs history to have three consecutive 100-yard games.
Nice.
The other three are Doug Martin, shocking as that is, Doug Martin in 2015, and you're still living on that 2015 year, Doug Martin.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Charles Sims, 2015. No.
Well, Cadillac Williams, I think it was 2005.
The beginning of 2005, yep.
And this guy, we know you speak with the Glazer family once in a while.
James Wilder?
Yes. Now, the reason why I bring it up, do you have any clue why the Glazers have not put him in the Ring of Honor? Are they so bitter about the Bucks between the McKay years and the Dungy years that they ignore that chunk of Bucks history? Now, I understand why people would want to forget. It was pretty lousy, but Wilder was one hell of a running back.
Yeah, I mean, he did come before them. There's no question about it. But they put Paul Gruber in, you know, and
who was there when Dungy was there, so.
But I think Wilder's a very strong candidate. I don't think Buck fans would have a problem with him being the next guy. I guess they pulled the Monty Kiffin thing and pushed it back to next year, guys. So I don't know. Yeah, that's what they were thinking.
That's awful. Is that really what happened? They pushed Monty Kiffin back?
I believe they did.
That's terrible. The guy's 80-something years old. Get him in there.
I believe they pushed him back, Isbit. I believe they pushed him back.
Damn.
So are they going to add another guy, you know, with Kiffin in 2021? We shall see. But Jones is playing tremendous. And you know what? You got to give Isbit a little credit, Lee. He backed up his faith in Jones by drafting him in his fantasy league. And he's done very well for him.
All right. Nobody cares about our fantasy exploits.
But Steve, you said when Fournette came aboard, you said Ronald Jones is still going to be the number one runner. I pushed back a little. I questioned it. I said Fournette's always been the top dog in Jacksonville. He's not gonna sit well with him, getting six carries while Jones is getting 16. But Steve, you never wavered. And you said Ronald Jones is going to get the job done.
Well, no. I never said that. I wasn't thinking that he would actually have a good year. I thought they would stick with him for a while and see what happens. I didn't think he would necessarily be successful. I just thought he would get the touches, so I can't take a lot of credit.
Look at Steve being very humble over there. I want Buck fans to mark this podcast down because you may never hear that again.
I thought he'd be okay. I thought he'd be okay. I wasn't ready to, throw him off the ledge, but I got to ask you this, Ira, before we get out of here. Quick question, because I think it's very important since we talked so much about it before, and Lee, we'll get Lee's take as well. Ira, penalties, they went from 10 to 0. Zero penalties. Now, that's not a coincidence, okay? We know it was a big emphasis last week in practice from Brady, from coaches, players. Mike Evans did his news conference late last week and said, we'll lose if we don't fix that. And other guys were very strong. So they go to zero penalties. What does this tell you? Does it just tell you how poorly prepared or coached they were before or that they had tuned out? What does this giant change tell you?
I think what it suggests, Lee, and it's a very positive thing, is that, instead of empty words, because Arians is emphasizing this thing all the time, especially after leading the league last year with 133. That's a big, big number. Lee, what it suggests is that people took it to heart and looked at themselves in the mirror, each guy. And I mean you, Donovan Smith. And I mean you, Ryan Jensen. And I mean you, Ndamukong Suh.
Who was flagged.
Stop. Yeah, and he was. That's right. Offsetting. Stop with the pre-snap penalties. Stop with the personal fouls. And Lee, here's the irony of the whole thing, in my eyes. They played their most physical game of the season, and it was the game that they didn't have any penalties. That gets hats off to the Buccaneers. It's not like they dialed it back in terms of aggression. if anything, I think they were even more aggressively, but they did it in a smart manner, fitted under the rule book. They played one whale of a football game, Lee. There's no two ways about it. And I think each guy took it upon himself to say, hey, I can control my own actions, and I got to lead by example. And that's what happened.
There's some breadcrumbs out there that lead me down a path that
they usually lead to a path of Big Storm Brewery. That's what they lead you to.
Yeah, that's true. Or a deli where I can get a big sandwich. Yeah. There's breadcrumbs out there that's leading me down a path that someone or some people, and I have a good idea who, read the team the riot act in the locker room, basically saying, you guys individually are going to F up this entire season with your dumbass penalties, and every guy in this room, just look around, you're letting them down and you're letting yourself down by being dumb. And I think two of those guys, I think, no one said it, but I think, were Tom Brady and JPP. And we all know Brady unloaded on those guys on the sidelines. He later explained, he goes, well, you know, there's certain levels of play you have to reach to be a Super Bowl contender. People are talking about a Super Bowl. We're not at that level yet because of their sloppy play. And JPP, what struck me last week when JPP spoke, he was still bitter about that Chicago game, visibly so. He made no bones about it. He came right out and said, we gave that game away. And that was a week later. You could tell he was PO'd. And there were some hints on social media that he left that he wasn't a happy camper. And he has a ring. He's got street cred. I just get the impression those two guys just really, really went nuts on their teammates. And then we heard Arians today said their practice Thursday and Friday was just at a completely different level. Somebody got those guys' attention. And the only two guys I could think of that could probably get their attention because their teammates respect them so much is Brady and JPP.
That's a good way to put it, Lee. Steve, maybe somebody posted Scott Pioli's quotes on the bulletin board.
Get out of here, Scott Pioli. Come on.
When he called the Bucs a dumb football team on national television, Steven. That doesn't go over well.
Scott Pioli, half the locker room would be like, who's that?
Yeah. Scott Pioli, baby. Yeah. Scott Pioli.
I'm with Steve about half the locker room. Who?
Yeah, who's Scott Pioli?
Because some of these guys were in grade school the last time that he was a GM.
Well, the only other thing I could think of is that every man in there listened to our podcast last week. That's all. That's the only other conclusion I could draw.
Well, I mean, if Lee's on the money, and you know, it's certainly a very plausible and likely. You know, would really speak to the whole leadership thing that would make an actual difference, especially if they can sustain it. Which is the key here. You know, the Buccaneers are not the team they were in Chicago. They're not really the team they were in the Packers. We have to figure out who they really are, and I think we're going to see that really, really soon, Ira. We got so much more to talk about this week on another podcast. I'm going to look for another State of the Union address from you on the next podcast, Ira, because you know, there's a lot to soak in. We're going to hear a lot in the next couple of days, and Bucs fans are going to want to lean on you to get a sense of where this franchise really is as it relates to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But why don't you send us out of here, Ira, with whatever it is you classify as wisdom.
All right, Steve, I have misfired on my last two Buccaneer picks. I picked them to win in Chicago, and I was very pissed off that I got that one wrong. And I picked them to lose to Green Bay. And guess what, Steve? I'm elated that I was wrong. So we will see what goes on in our next podcast. We will pick the game going to Vegas against Chucky and the boys. Remember this, Lee. Just like Green Bay, the Raiders are coming off a bye week. Just like Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr is shredding NFL secondaries. We saw what happened Sunday. And we could see the very, very same thing next Sunday night. Let's hope, Lee. And by the way, Lee, they're 3-0 at home in the den of depression.
They keep that up, it won't be den of depression much longer.
Fans are waiting for you to change that moniker.
It's not up to me. It's up to the Bucks.
Good answer.
Thank you for listening to the podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get shopping right away at BillCurryFord.com or contact General Manager Sean Sullivan. He is ready to help you with anything at all times. Sunday night, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Join Ira Kaufman there and Bucks fans. Indoor seating, outdoor seating. Fantastic setup at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Starting at 6:30, you will be able to get a coupon for a free beer, courtesy of Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration is your disaster company. If anything happens in your home, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. And we're very excited to have them helping us out at Big Storm. Great food, Florida's best craft beer. Ira Kaufman, kickoff is at 8:20. Free beer runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m., one per person, so arrive early. We've got one more podcast this week. Listen at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe there and other platforms, or just keep listening at JoeBucksFan.com.